tell thee God. Go pray Nandi.
Hari Hari.
Ma Ondi Pare Krishna Prasthani Pitala Shima Seva Puranam Prasthani Shima Ahepare. Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pucharane Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Pasyatya Deshakare. Reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 16, text 22. Chapter 16 is called Kal Parikshit, Receive the Age of Kali. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Narayana Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudirayet Nasta Prayeshu Abhajeshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhakti Bhavati Naistiki. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayan, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and Srila Prabhupada, who's very kindly spent so much of his energy translating and commentating on Srimad Bhagavatam. By regular attendance on classes in the Bhagavatam and by rendering service unto the pure devotees, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service unto the personality of Godhead who is praised with transcendental song is established as an irrevocable fact. So on text number 22, Kim Shatra Bandhu. No, Kim Shat. It's a tune. Kim Shatra Bandhum Kalino Parishtan. Kim Shatra Bandhum Kalino Parishtan.
Kim
Shatra Bandhum
Kalino
Parishtan. Rastrani Vartar Avaro Pitani. Rastrani Vatar Avaro Pitani. Itastato Vasana Panavasa.
Itastato
Vasana Panavasa. Snana Vai Vyavai Yonmukha Jiva Lokam. Snana Vyavayon Mukha Jiva Lokam. Kim Shatra Bandhum Kalino Parishtan. Rastrani Vatar Avaro Pitani. Itastato Vasana Panavasa. Snana Vyavayon Mukha Jiva Lokan. Please chant.
Kim Shatra Bandhum Kalino Parishtan.
Kam Shatra Bandhum Kalino Parishtan.
Rastrani Vatre Avarupatani.
Rastrani Vatar Avaropitani. Itastato Vasana Panavasa. Snana Vavyam Mukha Jiva Lokan. Kim Shastra Bandhum Kalino Parishtan. Rastrani Vatar Avaropitani. Itastato Vasana Panavasa. Snana Vyavayon Mukha Jiva Lokan. Kamsatra bandhum kalino parishtam. Rasrani vartar avaropitani. Itastato vasana panavasa. Nana vyayo mukajiva loka. Kim, when, whether, kshatra bandhum, the unworthy administrators, Kalina, by the influence of the age of Kali, Upashristan, bewildered, Rastrani, state affairs, Va, or, Tai, by them, Avaropitani, put into disorder. Ita, here. Tata, there. Va, or. Asana, accepting foodstuff. Pana, drinking, drink. Vasa, residence. Snana, bath. Vyavaya, sexual intercourse. Unmukha, inclined. Jivalokam, human society. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The so-called administrators are now bewildered by the influence of this age of Kali, and thus they have put all state affairs into disorder. Are you now lamenting this disorder? Now the general populace does not follow the rules and regulations for eating, sleeping, drinking, mating, etc. And they are inclined to perform such anywhere and everywhere. Are you unhappy because of this? I'll start with the purport in a second or two. Omagyana timirandasya jinanjana salakaya chakshu umilitam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master very kindly forced open my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I'm indebted to him in ways that can't be expressed physically or verbally or mentally. And I beg for service life after life. Jai Srila Prabhupada. So we're continuing on with this conversation between the cow and the bull, Dharma and the personification of earth. And this particular section of Srimad Bhagavatam gives a very clear picture of the symptoms of the age of Kali. So clear that if you don't read the purports and don't chant Hare Krishna, it's kind of depressing. It's so clear that it's actually shocking to see how timelessly applicable is the Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada, he wrote these purports prior to 1965, and yet, not only the purport, but the verse itself is so applicable, it could be as if it was written yesterday, or in the last election, or the previous election, or whatever, but it's very telling about the state of affairs. So, Srila Prabhupada's purport. There are some necessities of life on par with those of the lower animals, and they are eating, sleeping, fearing, and mating. These bodily demands are for both the human beings and the animals. But the human being has to fulfill such desires not like animals, but like a human being. So Srila Prabhupada, he makes a clear distinction. That yes, we have these similar necessities and traits. We eat, they eat. We sleep, they sleep, etc., etc. It compares each of those functions of the needs of the living entity, humans and animals. But he contrasts it, and here he's going to contrast it even more. How they should be fulfilled in a proper way. Not that we're so free that we're acting just like animals. in fulfilling those desires. A dog can mate with a bitch before the public eyes without hesitation. But if a human being does so, the act will be considered a public nuisance, and the person will be criminally prosecuted. Therefore, for the human being, there are some rules and regulations, even for fulfilling common demands. The human society avoids such rules and regulations when it is bewildered by the influence of the age of Kali. So this is so true, that in this age of Kali, even common hygienic principles, common civil interaction is so degraded that it's actually quite fitting to declare it on par with animalistic activities. Just like in Anutapa Pramu's lecture on Sunday evening, when he was talking about there was recently some school board committee meeting in, he wasn't sure if it was Florida or not, but he mentioned he thought it was Florida, on the question of mandatory masks in school for the children. But he was shocked, and the commentators on this meeting were shocked that the exchange between the parents and the school board wasn't even on a civilized platform. The language was so vulgar that practically every other word had to be censored in the recording, with lots of bleeps, eep, bleep, bleep. And we can see that we've probably seen it, or perhaps unfortunately experienced it, even in very common affairs. Just like what people's reactions are if for some reason they're cut off in their car, someone cuts in front of them, you know, then there's often road rage. You know, they get so angry that they crash into whatever. You know, so many things that we've come to accept it, in a sense, come to accept it as common, and it's quite uncommon if there aren't some interactions that are civil, or what you could say, even civil, that's one thing, but polite is another, encouraging is in another level, taking it up a notch and a notch and a notch, and actually encouraging to others. It's just the unfortunate circumstance of the bewilderment of the age of Kali, because what? Because of forgetting the basic aim of life and the basic identity of the individual. We're forgetting that this body, this embodied existence in the human form of life, is a privilege, it's rare, and it has a higher purpose. The higher purpose in life is to progress spiritually. I'll continue on with the purport and then pontificate a little bit later. Okay, in this age, right? Is that where we are? Thank you. My marker keeps slipping off. Okay, in this age, people are indulging in such necessities of life without following the rules and regulations, and this deterioration of social and moral rules is certainly lamentable because of the harmful effects of such beastly behavior. It's so lamentable that it's amazingly discouraging. In this age, fathers and guardians are not happy with the behavior of their wards. They should know that so many innocent children are victims of bad association awarded by the influence of this age of Kali. We know from Srimad Bhagavatam that Ajamil, an innocent son of a Brahmin, was walking down the road. He was just following, you know, trying to render some service to his parents by gathering dried wood in the forest. He's just walking down the road doing that, and he saw a sudra pair sexually embracing. And it's interesting, sometimes that's all it takes. It's not the activity or the thought or the sinful desires are not in the forefront of your mind, but just by seeing a quick picture of something like that, and it and it brings it up in the mind, and the dirt in the heart comes forward. And as in the case of Ajamil, he couldn't get that out of his mind. He couldn't get it. Try as hard as he might, he couldn't get that out of his mind. And we can just extrapolate on that circumstance. And Prabhupada says, he doesn't say it here, but he says it in many places in the story of Ajamil, that at that time there was only one incident like that, or rare incidents, we could say. Rare incidences like that where people were inappropriately behaving, men and women, in public. But nowadays, it's common. It's, you know, and what to speak of the images that are brought forward on the internet, you know. So helpful to be able to get so much information on the internet so quickly, and at the same time so degrading and so harmful when those images and stories come up that you're most likely not looking for, but they just come across the screen, or they're on the sidebar, they're just waiting for you to, in a weak moment, click on it and because you're curious to know why the man left, whatever, you know, whatever the title is. He left his friend to die. What did he do that for? Click, and then you think, what did I do that for? Anyway, Hare Krishna. Okay, we know from Srimad Bhagavatam that Ajamil, an innocent son of a Brahmin, was walking down the road and saw a Sudra pair sexually embracing. This attracted the boy, and later the boy became a victim of all debaucheries. From a pure Brahmin, he fell down to the position of a wretched urchin, and it was all due to bad association. That's an amazing, actually it just struck me now, even though I read this before, I didn't catch how Prabhupada described Ajamil in his degraded position as a wretched urchin. And it was all due to bad association. Association is so important. The unfortunate thing is that for most of us, or for myself, my most bad association is stuck on the top of my shoulders. I carry around my mind and all its evil thoughts with me all the time. Here it is. There was but one victim like Ajamil in those days, but in this age of Kali, the poor innocent students are daily victims of cinemas, which attract men only for sex indulgence. So, one of the news headlines that flashed across my screen yesterday was another shooting in Texas, just this week. Another shooting in Texas that was described as not a random act of violence. It wasn't a random act of violence. The 18-year-old person who got into an argument with somebody and just happened to have a gun on him, and he took out his gun and started shooting. So amazing, and at the same time, we've heard it so many times before, haven't we? This sad story of how even disagreements, you know, a simple disagreement, you know, can end in the taking of a life. At least there are a few people that are very attracted to this class. Unfortunately, they're in mosquito bodies. Okay, the so-called administrators are all untrained in the affairs of a kshatriya. The kshatriyas are meant for administration as the Brahmins are meant for knowledge and guidance. When we read in different sections of the Bhagavatam and the Gita of the qualities of the kshatriyas, it's like taking a refreshing bath in cooling water, or it's just so refreshing to hear of people who are trained to be able administrators. They're trained in proper interactions with the people whom they are protecting, and alliances with different kings, etc. And their qualities are heroism, power, morality, etc., etc. And it's just so hopeful and enlivening to see that those qualities existed at some point, and they still exist in the hearts of those who try to uncover those qualities. The word chhatra bandhu refers to the so-called administrators, or persons promoted to the post of administrator without proper training by culture and tradition. Nowadays, they are promoted to such exalted posts on the votes of people who are themselves fallen in the rules and regulations of life. How can such people select a proper man when they are themselves fallen in the standard of life? And that we've seen over and over again in quote-unquote modern society, that by popular vote, a person is elected to the post of administrator, and when there's some expose of some discrepancy in his character or in his administration or gross pilfering of the state funds, then that person who was elected by the popular vote is taken out of his position by those same people. So they're hoping for some protection, some enlightenment. That's a big hope. I don't even think they think for enlightenment. But there's some guidance on the path of, you know, some order to civilized life, and time after time are disappointed. Therefore, by the influence of the age of Kali, everywhere, politically, socially, or religiously, everything is topsy-turvy. And therefore, for the same man, it is all regrettable. And actually, even that last phrase, and therefore for the same man, it is all regrettable, even in this day and age, it's hardly, people in general, they don't even regret the shortcomings of people in political posts or in any position, because they have come to the point of degradation where they accept that, oh, it's just normal that people have, you know, such unsavory qualities in them. It's considered normal. And someone who doesn't have that, they hardly come across that. So in preparing for this class, that was euphemistic of me. One of the things that struck me about this purport was not what's mentioned here, but how Srila Prabhupada. Now, okay, let me preface this a little bit. So here we're seeing the influence, and we're experiencing the influence of the age of Kali and the degradation in the age of Kali. And only can we experience it because Srila Prabhupada has at least opened our eyes through his transcendental literature to show us that there is a higher standard, and there is morality, there is good qualities. They are there in the human being, and they can be awakened in every single person if he cleanses that dust. They take advantage of the process of cleansing the heart of the contamination that's brought about by this nasty atmosphere that we live within. And so if we take a look at society and the degradation as explained in all spheres of society, politically, socially, morally, and etc., how much inspiration and hope would we have if we thought, oh, let me change things. Let me bring the standard of civilization up a bit. Personally, I don't even think that. For myself, and as an individual, being able to even make a slight dent in anything like that. And yet, taking that situation, Srila Prabhupada, with clarity and purity and his transcendental intelligence, coupled with the transcendental instructions of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj, he thought, let me try. And that's so amazing. And not only he thought, let me try, and planned out his whole life how to execute it, you know, in various ways. He attempted in various ways and didn't meet with so much immediate success in India at first. Then he continued translating, and then when he had his three volumes of the Bhagavatam ready, he was ready to cross the ocean, no support, no no information as to what he would experience on the other side when he got off the ship, and actually not really even understanding what it would be like to take a 31-day voyage in a cargo ship, you know, how that would impact him. And still, and then coupled, as also mentioned by Anuttama Prabhu in his Sunday Feast lecture, he was saying how speaking in a language that wasn't his native tongue, you know, in a language that's not his native tongue, in a culture that's not his, you couldn't even call, you know, the West culture, when you compare it to Indian culture, you can't even compare it, that it's culture, it's just something, it's just life. And still Prabhupada took that order of the spiritual master with the full faith and conviction and purity of his heart and could make a difference. It's totally amazing when you think about it in that sense. How he could influence people who were just, as mentioned here, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending on animalistic platform, and change their heart and mind and consciousness and the direction of their life totally by taking it to the path of bhakti. And not only that, in addition to that, not just for some time, not just for a couple of weeks, you know, a weekend retreat or a month long, but to change the direction of their life for the rest of the duration of their life, and then have them become empowered to teach others. It's quite unbelievable. It's quite amazing and quite inspiring that he could make that one person could start the ball rolling to make that positive effect. There's the verse in the Bhagavatam, which Prangavinda is going to help me remember, I'm sure, where these literatures are meant to produce a revolution in the impious lives of the misdirected civilization. And the Sanskrit is? Yeah? Tadvargavisho, I don't know it that well, so. Okay, thanks. Anyway, so, but that's what Srila Prabhupada did, armed with this Bhagavatam. So, in and of itself, listening to the exposition of the degraded qualities of Kali Yuga is, in one sense, not exactly enlivening. It's a little, you know, one becomes overwhelmed with thinking, how are we going to have an effect? How are we going to have an effect? I mean, it's hard enough to change our own life around, and perhaps some of us have been able to at least superficially do that externally, change our life around, and continue on with the process with the hopes that the internal effect will take place, and it has taken place, but there's still a lot more room for internal cleansing. So it's hard enough to do that on an individual level, but to be on an influencer, be influential on a societal level, or even before you go to society, a communal level, in your local community, and then maybe take a step up at society, and then maybe, you know, a nation or whatever. How are we going to do that? It's quite overwhelming when you think of our underwhelming qualities of purity. But Srila Prabhupada could do that. And we can also make an attempt, and are making that attempt, to follow in his footsteps, even though we're on such a dramatically different level of Srila Prabhupada and the acharyas and the cyclic succession. We're on such a dramatically lower level, but still holding on to the teachings of the parampara, then success is guaranteed. And success, then I often have to remind myself that success is guaranteed. It is guaranteed by our attempt, but not necessarily, quote unquote, by our attempt, but we make our attempt, and the results are up to Krishna. And because Lord Chaitanya has predicted that his name will be chanted in every village all around the world, then that's the ticket of success. It will happen. And how it will happen, we might not be so able to see how it will happen. Or we might not be able to appreciate the effects that it's happened, that is already there from the bhakti movement that's already there. The effects are showing in society in different ways now. But at the same time, we can bank on it. We can rest assured that it will happen because Krishna is the all-powerful one. He's the all-pure one. And he's the one who's concerned with saving all the conditioned souls. So those are just a few thoughts on that. If there's anything that you would like to bring up as a conversation or discussion or correction, Sankalpa Prabhuji.
So Krishna doesn't do anything without a deeper purpose. So what, all these different yogas are there for different living entities to take birth and take up the purification process. So in Kali Yuga we know Lord Chaitanya appeared. So there's so much good about Kali Yuga to say about Kali Yuga, the simple fact that Lord Chaitanya came and gave such an easy process. So yeah, it is shocking to see what's happening around us. It's shocking, and sometimes we wonder what will happen, you know.
Yeah.
If we actually can carry out Lord Chaitanya's mission
right.
To a wider extent.
To a wider extent. Thanks. What you said triggered a memory in my the whole reason that Maharaj Parikit didn't kill the personification of Kali, who was beating this very cow and bull that are speaking now. He didn't kill him, and that's the sages asked that question. Why didn't he be such a powerful ruler? Why didn't he kill the miscreant right then and there? And one would think stop the growth of Kali Yuga right then and there. Because it's explained that Maharaj Parikit was a realist. And he understood at the same time, he also understood the benefits that you had mentioned, the benefits of the age of Kali. And what are the benefits of the age of Kali? The benefit is there in that that the Harinam, that the Lord's name is the means and the ends of achieving perfection in the age of Kali. And in no other age has the process been so easily available for others to take up. In previous yugas, the process of purification was maybe fire jugas or something. And fire jugas are not like the little teeny fire jugga pits that we have here when we have a fire jugga, but they were huge, costly affairs with tons and tons of ghee as one ingredient, what to speak of all the other ingredients. The Prabhupada said even on that level, it's not possible to perform yugas in this age on the level of previous ages. What to speak of the other processes of yoga, Astanga yoga. When Krishna explains in the sixth chapter to Arjuna the process of going to the forest and going to a secluded sacred place and meditating on a seat that's not too high or too low and having all your senses completely controlled, staring at the tip of your nose with your eyes half opened, and et cetera, et cetera. And he gave all the conditions to be able to perform that type of yoga for what? Controlling the mind. It's not even for attaining love of Godhead. It's for controlling the mind and making progress. Arjuna said, it's practically impossible. It's more difficult to control the wind, you know? Controlling the mind is like that. I can't do it. And Krishna said, yeah, it's true. It is. It's very difficult, but it's possible by constant practice. But anyway, the point is that other processes of purification in other ages were so difficult to execute. And this process of chanting the holy name and taking prasadam is so joyful. That's exactly the reason why Maharaj Parikit didn't kill Kali, the personification of Kali at that time, because he saw that this process is the way and means that so many people are going to achieve perfection. Very encouraging, very enlightening. Anything else? Thank you for that. Okay. Thank you very kindly. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Go Prema Nandi, Hari Hari Bol.